This is the Feminine Podcast, the official podcast of Feminine, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminine, and I am so excited to be bringing you this next Fixed 17 talk. This is from Dr. Lois Swisher, and she likes to say that she secretly always wanted to be a storyteller, and she is. In her Fixed 17 talk, she tells a story of her daughter's illness and what this did to her career and her life and how she got through it. It's called Sinking Feeling, Know Your Plimsoll Line, and it is fantastic. Really sit somewhere quiet, listen to this story, and you'll get a lot out of it. Enjoy.
Yes, as my disclosure, I have no financial issues, but as a storyteller, it's something I've always wanted to be. And I've been told that I'm an introvert with an extrovert trying to get out. So this is my chance. And I got the stage. Tonight, though, there's an airway event. It's not stories about airways. It's stories that we can tell each other. And I think being able to tell these stories, what we've heard over the last day and a half, it brings us connection and community. And so I'd like to tell you my story. On December 3rd, 1999, I took my then 5-year-old daughter to Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania for a reassurance MRI. Now, if I really thought that she had something wrong with her, Friday at 7 o'clock at night would not have been the time that I would have taken my daughter. But I'm an ER doc and a mom, and our children get fatal diseases that we worry about, not infrequently. 2 years earlier, when she was 3, she had bilateral knee pain. I took her in saying, "Tell me she doesn't have leukemia," and they did a Lyme's test. So not everything is as bad as it could be. This time, though, she had 5 episodes of unexplained vomiting and had no fever. And when I was a third-year medical student, one of my mentors told me, unexplained vomiting without fever should equal brain tumor to proven otherwise. So I took her for a reassurance MRI, and there was no reassurance. She had a baseball-sized tumor in her brainstem, and we were whisked from the MRI suite to the PICU, and then subsequently she went to the OR yelling, "It's my brain tumor and I want to keep it." I'm like, "No, honey, you don't." But she came back to me blind, mute, paralyzed, incontinent, unable to do anything that even a baby could do. And my life fell apart. Being an ASEP counselor, gone. SAM Ethics Committee, gone. I was just working my shifts, and everything that I thought my journey was going to be like, I was going to be dean of a medical school. All of that was gone overnight. I didn't know how to be a parent of a disabled brain tumor child. So even though the internet was new, how do you find somebody? Like, how do you find a person with a channelopathy? The internet's a great place. And I looked on the internet, and I found a dad in the Dominican Republic. He was Canadian, but he seemed to understand what was going on. And his daughter was about 1.5 years in front of mine on the same protocol. I'm like, I'm going to follow this guy. And I started writing him every day. All my fears and all my concerns. And as we went along, she got better from some things, and then she got a vincristine neuropathy. She lost the feeling up to her waist. In a single set of cisplatinum, she lost from having normal hearing to needing hearing aids. And I didn't know how I was going to do this. I was completely overwhelmed. And so my friend David, he says, "You know, I work at this resort, and we have the cruise ships come in. And every once in a while, I go to the captain's table." And he told me about the boats, that it's white on the top and blue at the bottom. "Do you know what that means?" "David, what are you doing talking about this?" And I'm thinking, he's trying to distract me. Like, okay, there has to be something. I have no idea. So he goes, "Well, back in the mid-1800s, in Britain, merchants would have to send their goods by ship. And they want to put as many goods on that ship as they can to get as most money that they can from their destination. But when you do that, some of the ships are going to capsize in bad weather. And when that happens, you lose everything unless you insure that ship. And so that's what the merchants did at that time, is that they insured these ships. So if they lost the cargo, they got money. If the cargo got there, they got money. And the only thing that happened if these ships went down is they lost all the men on those ships. So Samuel Plimsoll was elected to Parliament in the early 1870s. And in 1875, as a social reformer, he got a line on these ships that sailors would be able to look at when they see the ship and know whether they're overloaded. If you couldn't see that line, you knew that that ship was at risk and should not leave harbor, because if you hit bad waters, you could go down. Great. What does that have to do with my life and my daughter, who can't hear and is going to need hearing aids and I don't know what's going on? It's like, people are like ships, and they can get overloaded. And just like ships, there's two things that you need. If you find that you're overloaded, either you have to get to a safe harbor or you have to get some of that crap off. And he told me that he could be that safe harbor and that person to help unload crap in my life. So we've talked about failure buddies. For me, he was a fear buddy. All those things that I was really, really afraid of and that was swirling in my head, I was able to tell him. And in the brain tumor world, we talked about fear being false evidence appearing real. And there were a lot of shadows and a lot of things of concern. And being able to talk with him and unload those fears made everything lighter. And through some of the darkest days in my life, I was able to get through that. So now, even though I can't see other people's Plimsoll lines, I try to look at them to see if I can help unload the crap that's going on in their life. It's now 17 years, 10 months, and 2 days since my daughter was diagnosed. And who would have thought that at that time, when my life was over, I thought my life was done, that I would be standing here with all of you trying to make the journey of life for women in emergency medicine better. And you have to believe that even if you're going through tough times and it's not exactly what you thought, when you get some smooth sailing, you might have that pretty picture that you were dreaming early on. Thank you.